This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
3-2, swung on, a pop foul back here.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Life, call his wife in
407. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Friday morning. We made it all the way to Friday. Another week in the books. Only one more between us and a week with Major League Baseball in it. Less than 2 weeks away from the start of the season. We started there because the football conversation is too depressing to start. Joe Flacco. And even though we got hit with another injury, I do view this one slightly different. As we all know, the massive injuries that really both teams, certainly the Yankees more so than even the Mets by length and importance. Obviously, we know Cole gone. And again, Cole, Tommy John surgery, the full Tommy John. There was a little bit of miscommunication or whatever you want to say that they put the sleeve on. They put one of those, you know, there's like two of these procedures. There's the full Tommy John, the full repair, and then there's this like bracketed sleeve type of thing that shortens the rehab time, apparently. And early on in the day, I read a tweet saying that they used the sleeve and they used this thing, and so it should only be a 12-month recovery. But turns out they did the normal full Tommy John as well as bracketed it for stability. So we're looking at 16 to 18 months for Gerrit Cole. This is a devastating injury, obviously. He could not only miss this year, but I mean, he's on target to miss most of next year and possibly all of next year too. Devastating injury for the New York Yankees. Obviously, we learn more about the Giancarlo Stanton injury as he also has a chronic calf. I mean, we knew that. We knew the calves, and we knew the hamstrings and the soft tissue stuff. The elbows we were unaware of heading into the season. But he's hopeful and optimistic that he can return sometime around Memorial Day. You got Luis Gil. You got all the different injuries for the Mets as well in their rotation, and we found out another one yesterday as Jeff McNeil is going to be shut down for 7 to 10 days and miss, you know, I don't know, probably around a month of the season with an oblique injury. And for me, as much as I'm not happy necessarily that Jeff McNeil is hurt, I never want to see anyone hurt, I do think for the Mets, this is a, I don't want to say blessing in disguise, but this is an injury that doesn't really feel all that bad and actually makes things a little bit interesting to start the year. Because right now, they've been trying to figure out how to get Beatty, how to get Acuna on this roster, whether or not you can get them at bats. Certainly Acuna, You want to get regular at bats. Beatty, you kind of know what he is. He's been in AAA. He's succeeded there. There's nothing to learn about Beatty other than can he hit at the major league level. Acuña still has some developing to do. And that's why, for me, I think this is a perfect opportunity for a month to give Beatty the second base job, not Acuña. Let Acuña go back down, whatever, you know, middling major league infielder you want to give that last, you know, 26th man on the road, on the roster spot to be that utility infielder, fine. But Beatty, if he gets a month to play second base every day, to find out if he can play the position, find out if he can hit the major league level, I think Beatty is a dynamic player. And as much as I, you know, understand Jeff McNeil and his role on this team, I think, honestly, over the last 2 years, you have not seen anywhere near the batting champion Jeff McNeil. And let's be honest, he's a one-tool player. That tool's the least important of all the tools in today's modern game, and he's not even that good at that tool anymore. His defensive flexibility of being an infielder, outfielder, has been beneficial to this team, less so this year with the addition of Winker, and you have Marte, you got Soto, you've got Siri and Nimmo. Like, they've got a ton of outfielders, so I don't think they'll need him to do much of that. I mean, you never know. It's nice to have, but it's not nearly as important as it has been in previous years to this roster. Plus, I don't think he's that good of a hitter anymore. He has miserable at-bats. And so, as much as I root for a speedy recovery, I suppose, I think the next month of giving Beatty consistent major league at-bats and finding out and letting him ride a hot spring where right now he has a 1.1 OPS. Ride that hot spring right into the year. Find out what you have. And if you do have what he's been in AAA, we forget, you know, he was the top third base prospect in all of baseball 2 years ago. He came up, he showed some promise, hit a home run his first at bat. I think he's got a beautiful looking swing. And if you can find out that you've just added, as you're trying to compete in the National League, as you're trying to compete with the Dodgers and the best teams in baseball, as every Met fan would gladly tell you how good the National League is compared to the American League, and you've got the new Yankee, you got the new evil empire, as if you read the article in the Athletic about the Dodgers being the new evil empire in all of baseball. This lineup is pretty damn good. The rotation scares me. They're pitching better than anyone in Major League Baseball in the they have the best ERA in the sport right now in AAA. In spring training, not that that matters, but they're pitching well so far. You got a good performance from Diaz. You feel okay about the pitching. You trust the pitching lab. You've got some depth. The lineup is excellent, but if you want to compete with the Dodgers, if you find out Beatty is your legitimate left-handed power to complement Vientos, to go along with Nimmo, to lengthen this lineup, give you more pop, give you more of a threat than Jeff McNeil. And then even if he's, you know, over the next month you find out he's this good, you can, you know, at the very least, you can platoon him with McNeil or not move on from McNeil. Wouldn't be the one, find a trading spot for McNeil. McNeil could be the player who plays once a week. And then even moving forward, as this owner has talked about not wanting long-term contracts, Beatty's improved defensively. You could put him at third, Vientos at first next year after, I'm assuming, Alonso opts out. And you don't have to go out and give $500 million to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And you've got an infield, other than Lindor, built around your farm system. Plus, with more infielders coming up in Acuña to play second base. So I think right now, as much as you don't want to hear another injury, and spring training has been filled with them, and it's been an ugly year for both these teams injury-wise, I think this is a unique spot to give Beatty that run, to give him one more chance, give him a month of every day at-bats, find out if he can play the infield, find out if he can play second base, and find out if this spring training is for real or if it's just the mirage we've seen a couple of times with this kid and that it's not going to work out. So, like, for me, if this were an all-year thing, if the news was McNeil out for 5 months or something significant, maybe Acuña stepping in, being your everyday second baseman, you know, makes a little bit more sense. But for the short term, right, and you're not going to need a backup shortstop, but we've already established that. They're going to play Lindor every single day. In the short term, there's nothing to gain from him going back to AAA. This is a perfect spot to give Beatty a month and find out who he is. 888-808-1019. And then, of course, the Giants have welcomed in Joe Flacco. I'm so excited. I can't begin to tell you how pumped I am about the prospects of Joe Flacco being the quarterback for the New York Giants. It's wonderful. And this is why the Aaron Rodgers thing, I will wait forever. I don't care. I'll wait till September. I don't care. Like, this is what we're afraid the Giants say. Oh, listen, they got to make a decision. You could lose out on the other options. What other options are there? There's draft a quarterback. There's Aaron Rodgers. Everything else is crap. Russell Wilson isn't any good anymore. We're talking about Joe Flacco. You know, Gardner Minshew just signed with Kansas City as the backup. The New York Giants have a legitimate starting job opening, and he's running to be the backup in Kansas City because you know why? He stinks. There are no legitimately good quarterback options right now. And what scares me the most and what makes me think as I hear Russell Wilson and I hear Joe Flacco and even Aaron Rodgers, the most important thing for this New York Giants team right now is to find a way to draft the quarterback they believe in because everything else is noise. We know the overall roster, while improving, and while I do think the offense can be better than most people think, if they bring in even Aaron Rodgers, if they don't have a future quarterback on the roster, they're spinning their wheels. What are you hoping to accomplish next year? Even if you win 7-8 games with Aaron Rodgers and you have a quarterback of the future waiting in the wings, now I'm excited. You win 7-8 games with Aaron Rodgers without that quarterback, well, where the hell are you? Now where are you in the draft to get this quarterback next year? You're not moving forward long-term with Aaron Rodgers on a 7-8-9 game win season. Like, I don't know. What are you doing? Like, ultimately, with where they are right now, with the coach and the GM on the hot seat, with the organization being as bad as it's been for the last 6 or 7 years, probably even more than that, I'm being kind by saying 6 or 7 years, like, where do they go without that future quarterback on the team right now? Like, where do they go? What do they do? Eddie earlier said, well, what if they would have signed Sam Darnold? They didn't, but if they would have, at least that would have been a direction. Okay, if they would have traded for Matthew Stafford, if they would have paid Sam Darnold $100 million. All right, we're trying to win. Trying to win right now. We've got a quarterback we believe in. Sam Darnold won 14 games last year. Yeah, he crapped the bed down the stretch and he sees ghosts, but I think we can coach that out of him. At least that's a plan. What's the plan moving forward with any of the options left unless they're mentoring a young quarterback that you can either transition to this year or set up for success next year? There's nothing else to do. And that's why, as we hear all this stuff, I don't even focus on it. I don't care who was in the building. I don't care if it's Joe Flacco. I don't care if it's Russell Wilson. I don't care if it's Jameis Winston. I don't care who the hell they're visiting with. I have no interest in it. Because all that matters is right now whether or not Tennessee is going to take Cam Ward, whether or not Cleveland's going to take Shedeur Sanders, and whether or not the Giants are going to be sitting there after winning a lousy Colts game that moved them from having the ability to draft whoever they want to suddenly be thrusted into a situation where I don't know what the hell is going on with the team. And even winning would feel like a detriment. And that sucks, man. I know I'm the tanker and people can't stand it, and that's fine. That's fine. But it does. I don't like it. I don't want to root for losses. I want what's best for the franchise. And winning 7-8 games with a veteran quarterback who I don't believe in and putting them in an impossible position to get that quarterback in the draft doesn't do me anything. That's a blah season. That's nothing. All right, so it lasted longer than October. All right, so it was more fun than last year. All right, Malik Nabers developed. Like, but ultimately, what are they doing? So I don't care about Joe Flacco. I don't even care about Aaron Rodgers as much as I talk about unless they have the young quarterback. They have to find a way. They have to find a way. Now, I guess there are other quarterbacks in this draft. There's Dart. There's Milroe. There's Howard, there's, other quarterbacks. And in today's day and age, I don't know if they're going to last through the first round. I don't know if Jackson Dart's there in the second round. I don't know if Jackson Dart is there to be traded back into the first round. I have no idea. But it better be at least a pick in the first two rounds. Otherwise, There's really not showing any faith in it. There's no guarantee that's the future. The organization isn't tied to it. There's nothing holding them to that quarterback. It's just a disaster. And then again, the question will be, are they better with 7 wins or with 2? And unfortunately, it's, for me, very easy to make a compelling case that it's 2. And I don't want that. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Flushing. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris. What's going on?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good. Yeah, like you just said, 2 wins is probably what you're going to look for because, you know, you want Arch Manning. So, I mean,
but,
you know, you want to win
do
that
you? Do you want Arch Manning?
Of course.
Why?
This guy's legit.
Why? How is he legit?
How is he legit?
Yes.
I've seen him play. The guy is a freak athlete.
You've seen him play where?
Okay, I don't want to argue about this, but I have more points on what the Giants can do, but if you let me get to that
point. Sure. I'm just saying, Arch Manning hasn't played college football. We don't know yet.
Okay. Well, like
the idea we know what he's
really
going to be. Okay.
You'll see next year. There's this kid in Ohio State, too. He's a freshman. He's going to be pretty decent. He's not going to be Arch Manning's level, but he's considered going to be a high prospect as well. You'll see next year.
Okay.
But for this year, I'm trying to brainstorm like you are. What are we going to do? And by the way, you just said exactly what I said exactly to you last year. We're just spinning our tires. The same thing. You are so optimistic, blah, blah, blah. I knew this was going to happen, and here we are again. So, I mean, if you add one more...
I hate to interrupt you again, but I don't remember being very optimistic much at all last year. But maybe I was at the start of the year.
No, but I mean, you had this sort of stopgap quarterback mentality we need. And, you know, like I said, we're going to be spinning our tires. There was no real future in that.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow, so the two options I was thinking was, one, there's this guy in New England, Joe Milton.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get a flyer draft pick for that guy. Listen, we're not doing anything this year anyway. Throw him out there. Like you said, we got to go after a guy like Cam Ward for sure. Okay? For sure, we got to trade up, get Cam Ward. That's what's going to really get Giants fans excited and give us actual hope and promise for the future. Okay? But in the meantime, trade for a guy like Joe Milton. This guy's got a lot of potential. He's got a cannon arm.
Mm-hmm.
He's good reading. He's good reading, you know, defenses. And then another thing, there's a guy in Louisville. He's, I think, the second best quarterback in this draft that no one talks about.
Yeah.
And those are your two options. I don't care about Shedeur Sanders. I don't care about Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart's nothing to me. I've seen him. He just throws the deep ball. That's it. Daniel Jones threw the deep ball. How good did that do for us?
He didn't. But Daniel Jones stopped throwing the deep ball. At one point, he threw the deep ball. Then he stopped throwing the deep ball. Then you had to have Tyrod Taylor come in and throw the deep ball. Tyler Shuck in Louisville. He's been around a little bit. I think he went to Oregon and Texas Tech and. He's been around a little bit. They like his tool set, no doubt about it. He's a little bit lesser of a, you know, more of a... they're going to take a flyer on a quarterback no matter what they do with the third pick and no matter what they do with this. They're coming out of this draft with a quarterback prospect somewhere. Whether it's the second, third, fourth, when they're going to come out with a quarterback by hook or by crook because they don't have another quarterback in the room. You know, they have the veto and they'll have a veteran and they're going to draft a quarterback. See if they get lucky. I wouldn't be opposed... If they can't get Shedeur Sanders or they can't get Cam Ward or they don't get Dart and they want to trade for Milton, I mean, I don't know how much I would give up for Milton. I don't know what New England would want for him. I mean, he's a very athletic, very talented, unproven quarterback who played well in the one game he played last year. I don't know what the going rate for that would be, but I would be somewhat interested in taking a shot on someone like that, sure. But ultimately... I don't know. I mean, again, that's a shot in the dark. And there's nothing holding them. What if they trade a fifth-round pick for Milton? Again, not saying it can't work out. Maybe he just explodes in practice and Brian Daboll loves him and puts him in. And we're talking about the day they changed the Giants franchise by making a trade nobody expected. Like, maybe. But ultimately, there won't be this real neat feel like that he's the guy. And if Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are out... They'll have no connection or no real feel that the organization has, you know, put anything behind. Like, even if they draft a quarterback third, even if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are fired, the organization, whoever comes in next has an obligation to at least attempt, depending on where they are, unless they're drafting in a position to draft a quarterback again. Like, at some point, you got to give Sanders or Ward or whomever it is some sort of leeway to be the quarterback because the organization invested in him with a top pick. I want that like level of investment. That's why I kind of like everybody was talking early on. Now it seems to fade away. Now everybody understands you got to do it. But early on, it was like, oh, you can't trade up. You can't trade up to one to get a quarterback. These guys aren't good enough. And I'm not giving up draft equity for future seasons when I don't even know if this is going to be the GM who's going to be losing those draft picks. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And I always said I would love them to trade up because it means they love the quarterback. If they trade up, it's because they believe he's the guy. That's what I want to see. I want to see the level of belief. I want to see the level of investment. I want to see this organization make a decision that this is the guy and give it a run. And I think they're in a better position right now than they were with Daniel Jones. I think they have a legitimate stud wide receiver. I know, you know, Daniel Jones came in for, did he even have Odell Beckham for a year? I don't think he did. I know Saquon was with him a year. I think that's it. So he didn't even have, he's had no wide receivers. He had a bad offensive line. He had terrible coaching. I think Brian Daboll, for whatever his problems are with being able to communicate with his coordinators, I think he's a good offensive head coach. I think Malik Nabers is a stud wide receiver. I think Andrew Thomas is a stud left tackle. I think Tracy's a good young running back. I think they're in a position to provide a little bit of stability for a young quarterback where they might not have been in that position with Daniel Jones.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Now here's Tino. One on, two out. Pitch is swung on and drilled. The deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. The Fan Tino with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:32. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019.
I wish I found some better.
On this Friday morning, the weekend is here. We got a big Knick game Saturday. We got a big Ranger game against Columbus on Saturday. We got the Big East tournament later today and through the weekend, setting us up for Selection Sunday and the tournament Thursday and Friday. Big week ahead. I'll actually be in for Keith all of next week. So check for me. I won't be here with you in the overnight family, but I'll be a little bit earlier. I'm filling in for Keith all week, so it should be fun. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Phil and Howell. What's up, Phil?
Hey, how you doing? Listen, I've been listening to The Fan for the last 2.5 years, and I've never seen, and you guys, like, it's not only yourself, but just about everybody, you know, the talk show hosts. You guys are just, I don't know, for whatever reason, are so enamored with Aaron Rodgers. You guys have said the word Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, definitely.
More than Perry White says great Jesus ghost, okay?
Yeah, I don't get the reference that well, but I mean, I know who he is. I don't know he said that, but no, there is no doubt. We talk about Aaron Rodgers a lot. There is no doubt.
Okay, all right. My point is this, all right? I don't think he's signing with the Giants, okay?
Okay.
I really think, based on the structure of the rosters, I think it's either going to be the Steelers or Minnesota. That's my personal view.
I'd like to ask you a
question. I want an honest answer.
Sure.
All right? Let's say he signs with the Steelers, okay?
Yeah.
And through the first 9 games, they go 4-5. And all of a sudden, Mike Tomlin says, you know, and Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. And he's having the same type of year, basically, that he had with the Jets, up and down and whatnot. And he finally said, you know, it being 4-5, they're, like, still in the playoff hunt, but, you know, they're not playing that well. And, you know, he says, listen, I'm making a switch. I'm changing quarterbacks, okay? And, you know, there's going to be, it's a big deal. So there's going to be a press conference, whatever. All right. And then he's going to say, well, why are you making this switch? And he's going to say, listen, Aaron Rodgers was a Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm not happy with the quarterback.
What's your point, though? Yeah, I get it. We'll get to the point. We don't need the fake Tomlin press conference. Like, what are you saying?
Okay. He's going to say, listen, I'm not happy with the quarterback play.
Yeah.
I'm switching quarterbacks.
Right.
I think Aaron Rodgers is done.
Okay.
Yeah, would you finally admit that, you know what, being the stature of Mike Tomlin, would you finally admit that, yeah, maybe he is through?
I mean, I'd have to watch it. But again, so many of those things are never going to happen. Tomlin's not going to say that. They're not going to bench him 4-5 to go to who? Who's their backup quarterback right now? Who are they going to? They're not benching Rodgers at 4-5. He would have to be far worse than that. And let me tell you something right now. If he played the way he played last year for the Jets and throws 28 touchdowns and 3,900 yards and only throws 11 picks, the Steelers are going to win a lot of games. With that roster, that defense, they're going to win. They're going to win games. So, like, would I finally, if he goes 1-8, will I finally admit he's done? Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm not. You make it sound like I'm dying on this horse. Like, it's 1 year. We've seen 1 year. He was disappointing 2 years ago or 3 years ago now. And his last year in Green Bay, he was disappointing. He dealt with a bad thumb all year. They were one win away from getting into the playoffs and being one of the more dangerous teams in the NFC. That was the last team people wanted in the playoffs. The rest of the NFC was rooting for Detroit to win that game and eliminate the Packers. They were the hottest team in the NFC leading into that game. He was disappointing. The year before that, he won an MVP. So he had the MVP, two back-to-back MVPs, a disappointing season, an injury-wiped-away season, and then last year. I don't view him to be washed up at the moment. If he loses the first 10 games wherever he is, am I open to him being washed? Of course. I don't give a damn. If he goes to play for Pittsburgh, I don't care. The second he signs with Pittsburgh, I no longer care. And if he's washed, he's washed. I'm not here to deter, to like, my point with Aaron Rodgers isn't to like scream from the heavens, he could still play. I believe that, but it's about what's best for the Giants. That's what I care about. I want the drafted quarterback, then I want Aaron Rodgers because he's the best of the available quarterbacks. And I think he can be someone who can mentor a young kid. He's shown it before. The Jets teammates love him. I think he's the perfect fit. I never said he's going to step in and be Dan Marino. We all know what he is. He's diminished. But again, I don't know if you heard the news, but yesterday the Giants brought in Joe Flacco. That's the option. I'm not saying turn away a great quarterback for him. I'm saying the options are Russell Wilson and Joe Flacco. I prefer Aaron Rodgers. Brett in Long Island. Hello, Brett. Oh, a lot of noise there, Brett. What's up?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
I hope you and Fleeks have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend.
Well, thank you. You too, Brett.
Chris, you sounded like a hypocritical crybaby earlier.
Sure.
I hope you're not going to try to weasel your way out of this call.
No, I don't.
You were whining about how the callers, some of the callers try to get you.
Not some. You and Eddie, that's it.
Right, and for the last 2 years,
yes,
you've been ridiculing me about my take on Daniel Jones, that's all, and I have to take it from you.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're joining the show, so you're coming on, and you call in to get me, and I don't criticize you for your Daniel Jones opinion, I disagree with you. Right?
Wait,
I would
people,
never.
You say I'm wrong, and
yeah,
people
say
you're wrong.
I disagree.
Take, so it's the same thing.
No.
You say you're wrong.
No.
How's that? And you ridicule me. Yeah.
It's completely different, Brett. I don't call your house.
And Chris,
I don't call your house and say, "Hey, Brett, how do you feel about that?" And then call you 2 weeks later and go, "Ha ha, you were wrong." We're calling in because you want to have a discussion. I disagree with you. You disagree with me. That's fine.
The bottom line is you say I was wrong about that, and
yeah,
we say you're wrong about things. So it's
that's
no different.
Fine.
Anyway,
yeah, but
Arch Manning is playing football in college. Well, that's done.
How many snaps?
Right.
How many
Arch
snaps
Manning
did he
play?
How many snaps?
I watched him play two games, I think, and he looked really good. But I'm not tanking all year. Now, I want to get to my tanking point.
Yes.
I want to get to it because if I don't, Fleek is going to cry about it. So, here you go, Fleeks, to my tanking point. Chris, you're the master of tanking. You tank,
by
Halloween. Halloween, you want to tank.
Because the Giants are 1-6 at Halloween, that's why.
So, but for being the guru of it, I'm surprised you leave out the biggest critique of tanking.
What's that?
And I'm going to beat you. It's 1-0 me already.
You see?
It's 2-0.
That's
to
right.
Go
when
what?
You call, okay. I don't count the score. That's the difference, Brett, but go ahead.
It's 1-0.
Yeah, 1-0.
So now here's 2-0.
You got me. 1-0.
Yeah.
You're up
so
1-0.
My second point.
Yeah.
But the biggest way to tank, they were 2-7 last year.
Yeah.
And the Panthers are 2-7. They were rated the last in the NFL, NFC.
Yeah.
And what did they do at the trade deadline? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Could have got rid of Slayton. Could have got rid of Ojulari.
Yep.
Nothing.
Yep.
You might have said something then.
I did.
But you're not talking about it now. I haven't heard a peep out of you.
About what? About them not trading
about
away pieces?
Why didn't they trade away pieces?
I said they should have. I said they should have. I said they should have. I said 2 years ago they should have traded.
Don't talk about it now.
Brett, why would I talk about last year's trade deadline?
You talk about the Colts game because you talk about the Colts. That's all you're
talking about.
They should have won the Colts game.
Yeah, they should have won the
you
Colts
game. You just said they should have lost the Colts game.
They should have lost the
you
Colts game.
You only talk about that. Oh, they should have lost the Colts game. They lost the one game. The Colts should have won the game, first of all.
What are you...
You
what?
Should talk about how at 2-7 when you're pumpkin picking with the family, right then and there, that's when it's the trade deadline. They should get rid of pieces. That's more important.
I did say that. Why would I bring it up all the time, Brad? How do you think this is a winning
argument?
You're talking
about one game. That's your narrative again. Oh, the Colts game, the Colts game.
Yeah.
But the Colts needed that game. They played
dead. What's your point?
I know a Colts fan.
I don't care about who you know.
And then it's Jaden Daniels.
What's your point? You don't have a point.
You talk about one game.
Because they only won one game. If they won more than one game, I'd talk about those games. I talk about the Green Bay game 2 years ago. I talk about the New England game 2 years ago. I talk about the Washington game 2 years ago because they won three games I didn't like. This year I talk about the Colts game because it's the only game they won that I didn't like. Only the one. And I talked about it at the time they should have traded everybody. What, should I bring it up every day for you? How is that relevant? I talked about trading Saquon Barkley at the deadline too. Should I hit that with a hammer every day? You don't know what the hell you're talking about. That was your winning argument? Your ace in the hole is I don't talk about the trade deadline? What the hell are you talking about? And I'm not complaining that you called me out for being wrong. Eddie sets up hypotheticals to try and get me to confirm something that isn't even on my thought wavelength so that he can come back and hit me with it. And I don't care. I take his calls. I deal with his hypotheticals. And then I take him hitting on me. But I'm just having some fun with it. And it's not the same thing as you call it in and me and you disagreeing on a subject. That's what this is. You call in, tell me what you think. I tell you what I think. Sometimes we agree. Sometimes we don't. That's fine. Eddie goes, let me ask you this. 3 weeks from now, Somebody gets hurt and they bring in this. Who would you bring in? And if so, how successful is he? How many touchdowns does he throw? Like, you know, that's a different thing. He's looking to have ammo. It's one thing to just have it naturally. It's another thing to set me up in hopes to get it. That's all. And I don't mind it. I play these games and I jump through his hoops because this is what we do. But saying that I disagreed with you on the Daniel Jones tank, which you also failed to continually admit that you were wrong on, as he is now the Colts quarterback, and I'm sure you think he's going to be excellent there. I have no doubt. But, like, tanking, there's no, like, you can say you don't like it. You certainly can say, and most people do, and it's true, that you don't coach to lose, you don't play to lose, fine. You can say whatever you want. Here is a fact that you cannot disagree with. It's a fact. The New York Giants would have been better off losing that football game. That's it. There's no argument for that. You could say it's not good for team DNA to lose on purpose. You could say all the crap you want. They won three football games. The difference between having a 2-win season and a 3-win season is exactly nothing. There is no difference. Zero. Not even the one in the win. Like, there is literally no difference between having 3 wins and having 2 wins. There is no difference. Other than John Mara, on the 100th year of Giants football, can say we didn't lose every home game. Maybe that strikes your fancy. Maybe that's the kind of thing you like to hang your hat on when you're arguing in your 11 social media groups. I don't know. Maybe you like that idea. I don't. The difference between the first and the third pick in a 2-quarterback draft is enormous. It's enormous. You know how I know? Because if they make the trade for it, it's going to cost them dearly. It's going to cost them dearly to get there. If they lost that game to the Colts, they had what they will have to pay through the nose for free. That is just a fact. The New York Giants were better off losing the football game. It's indisputable. So we could, everything else around it, we could, what kind of fan you are, how you appreciate sports, where mentally you are as a fan, if you're rooting for losses, blah, blah. It's all noise. It's all absolute noise and garbage. None of it matters. All that matters is what's better for the franchise. That's all I care about. All I care about is what's better for the team. It's all any fan should care about. I don't get hung up on my third win on the last home game of the year. At the end of the season, once everything is decided, and I'm still a laughingstock no matter how many games I win. Right? I just saw Mr. Tannenbaum, as Mike used to call him, Mr. T, is on ESPN saying that the Giants are the NFL graveyard. The NFL graveyard. And I'm thinking to myself, how the hell could he say that? Do you know they won that third game on the last home game of the year? I could understand it if they only had two wins. But you did see that third win, did you not? And yet still you could call it the NFL graveyard? Shame on you. Drew Locke had one hell of a game, and they won that third game, avoiding a really embarrassing 0-9 home game schedule. I mean, I guess Tannenbaum missed it. I guess when the rest of the NFL mocks the New York Giants, they forgot that they won that third game, because the difference between two and three wins, whoo! Imagine what they say if they lost that second, if they only won the two games. Imagine what they would have to say about the Giants. Who cares about the third win of the season? Like, this is what, it's so stupid. Tanking shouldn't be. Like, there are two things that I'm arguing left and right here over the last couple days that honestly are not controversial and should not even be an argument. And I don't know why I'm arguing it. Aaron Rodgers is the best damn quarterback available for the New York Giants. Plain and simple. That's it. Anyone who says you'd rather have anybody else available, I don't understand you. Like, oh, well, what does he do for the Giants? I mean, he's the headache. He's a problem in the room. He's this, he's that, he's this, he's that. Is he Joe Flacco? Because that's the option. Is he Russell Wilson, he's bad in the clubhouse. He's bad in the clubhouse. Russell Wilson, his teammates can't get in touch with him without calling his publicist. The Seattle teammates that he won a Super Bowl with can't stand him. He goes to Denver. He requests an office and everything else. It's an absolute disaster the first year. And then one of the great offensive minds of this generation of football coaches, Sean Payton, goes there, and he can't run him out of town fast enough. But Aaron Rodgers is a real problem, and I'd rather have anybody else. Like, I don't even know what we're arguing about. Like, honestly, how could you even look me straight in the face or make a phone call to say anybody, someone else other than Aaron Rodgers? There's no case for it. Even if you don't like him, give me the better option. And then the other argument is the tanking thing. Like, I get it that, you know, as a fan, you should want them to win. I get it. And nobody loses on purpose. Fine. But you can't argue with me that the Giants would have been better off losing. The Giants would have been better off last year losing. The Giants are better off, you know, 2 years ago, rather, when Tommy DeVito was making a name for himself. They were better off losing against Green Bay, losing against the Patriots. They were better off losing. You can't argue with it with me. You can't. Looking at how it went down, they were better off losing. I want them to be better off. I get some of the, you know, Brian Cashman, I get it. That's obviously up for debate. You want to yell at me about Brian Cashman? I get it. There's a million things you could throw in my face. All the, you know, not being able to develop a player, the problem with the starting pitching, blah, blah, blah. I know I'm the Brian Cashman guy, but I'm well aware you could make an excellent freaking argument against Brian Cashman over the last handful of years. I'm not stupid. You can make a lot of arguments, even about the Jets and Aaron Rodgers at the time. Like, well, fine. You can't argue that the Giants have the one clear-cut option, and you can't argue that they were better off losing the Colts game. But yet, here we are. And now I feel like I'm just yelling at myself. 888-808-1019, which is the job. Oh, come on. It's Friday. Let's enjoy ourselves. All right, we got 9 more minutes of this. All right, let's try and have a happy 9 minutes.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win.
York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:57, real quick, just a few minutes before we take you to the warm-up show at 5. Get you through this Friday morning. Stick with us. We got, it's a big weekend. We got the Big East tournament, big Ranger game on Saturday against Columbus. Knicks taking on Golden State Saturday night. Hopefully we get the third meeting of the season of St. John's and UConn to decide the Big East tournament champion. That should be fun. And we get ready for the tournament next week. It should be always the two best days. Maybe, we got to figure something out. Maybe throw up. I'll be in the evenings, not the overnight for it, though. So that'll be a little different. See if they still do a party around here, if they've taken that tradition and run with it. Let's get back to the calls, though, to end the show. Philip in Brooklyn. What's up, Phil?
Hey, thanks for taking my call real quick. I don't want Rodgers. I know you named a few guys. I hear he's in talks with either the Chargers or the 49ers. Give me Jameis Winston. Four to six games, and then if they're able to get Cam Ward, who I want, that's who I would go to. But I would take Jameis Winston. I don't want Rodgers.
And why?
Because he's got a big arm. Look, I know he's going to throw.
I
know he's
going to
throw picks. I know he's going to throw picks, but I play fantasy football. He'll get you some points.
That's the best answer I've heard yet. That's the best one I've heard yet. And listen, I'm 100% with you. I said it a couple days ago. I want Rodgers. Don't get it wrong. After Rodgers, Jameson Winston. I always say that. Jameis Winston is probably my second top guy. I prefer him over Russell Wilson. I think he's probably better to help develop the young kid, especially if he's a top pick. He can talk about that. And I agree with you. He will sling it. There is no doubt. Malik Nabers would have a monster year. He will throw the football. So after Rodgers, that's the second best option. Certainly not Joe Flacco, and it's not Russell Wilson either. And we'll see if we ever find out what Rodgers wants to do. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Please, on the other side. Everybody, have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Stay here on The Fan with us as we're about to do the warm-up show kicking off today. Enjoy the weekend. I'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.